Just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Amen. Born in 1572 to a Catholic family in London, John Donne was an unmistakable member of England's aristocracy. Though he lost his father at the young age of just 4, much of Donne's early life bore the expected markers of privilege and prestige. By the age of 12, Donne had matriculated at Oxford, studying for 3 years before continuing his scholarship at Cambridge. And after postgraduate travels in Spain and in Italy, as well as time reading law, Donne signed on to sail with Sir Walter Raleigh hunting for Spanish treasure ships in the Azores. Returning again to London in 1597 at the age of 25, Donne served Sir Thomas Egerton for 5 years. During this tenure, John Donne fell in love with Anne Moore. This was an unfortunate problem, as Anne was a relative of Egerton's wife, and his courting of Anne would never be accepted by his lord. Donne went ahead and married Anne in secret, which Sir Thomas eventually discovered, and for which Donne was imprisoned for a short time. When he left prison, his decision to marry Anne had destroyed his reputation, and with it, all of his career prospects. For the next decade, Donne lived a new life of poverty, reliant on the generosity of friends and family just to eke by. During this time, he and Anne had 12 children, 5 of which died during their first year of life. Sinking into deep despair, Donne wrote, "I am rather a sickness or a disease of the world than any part of it, and therefore neither love it nor life." And yet, in despair's crucible, Donne was formed. He began writing prolifically and came to realize that he had a call to holy orders, to which he was ordained in 1615. Just 8 years after his ordination, Donne fell gravely ill. From his sickbed, he penned Devotions Upon Emergent Occasions, a series of reflections on the divine significance of illness. In one of its meditations, Donne wrote the following: "No man is an island entire of itself. Each is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less, as well as if a promontory were, as well as if a manor of thine own or thine's friend were. Each man's death diminishes me, for I am involved in mankind. Therefore, send not to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee." Donne's words cut to the heart of Jesus' vision of the apocalypse as presented in Matthew 25. As we have heard repeatedly in recent weeks, today's gospel again presents an illustration of two distinct groups presenting themselves before their Lord at the end of ages. In today's case, they are not servants managing money nor drowsy bridesmaids, but a king separating nations and people, leaving them either to his left or to his right. Those at the right hand, of course, inherit the kingdom, while those to the left suffer punishment. The king treats each according to how they welcomed the stranger, fed the hungry, relieved the thirsty, clothed the naked, cared for the sick, and visited the prisoner. One group, according to the king, did all of these things, and the other, of course, did not. And yet those on either hand of the king ask of him the same question: "Lord, when was it that we saw you?" And in that very question, we capture the Christian story and our image of God, whether they knew it or not, and of course, they show that they didn't. God was truly present there among them, in the wheeze of the infirmed, in the lonely shadow of a man in the deepest corner of a drab cell, in the anxious trepidation of the stranger in our midst. God was a part of each of them. it might be easy for this passage to feel deeply unsettling for us. I can imagine that most of us have probably not stepped foot in a prison. And while many of us have made chicken soup for a sick child or visited a sick family member at the hospital, very few of us have probably dedicated our lives to the tending and curing of illness. We may have had clothing or food drives, but would it be fair to say that we have consistently dedicated ourselves to feeding the hungry or clothing the naked? If we feel that we have not done these things, or maybe that we haven't even done them with the consistency we would have wished, this message appears to warn us. And conversely, for those who maybe feel that they have done all of these things consistently, it might be quite easy to feel important, to feel self-righteous. We may begin to believe that God's kingdom looks a whole lot like ourselves. But I want us to pay attention to one turn of phrase here today. When the righteous asked the king when it was that they fed or clothed or visited him, the king replies, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Now, Scripture makes it unequivocally clear that we have a fundamental duty to the materially poor, to the sick, to the imprisoned. This is undeniably true. And yet, in my reflections on this passage, I prefer not to ask myself how I have treated these very specific groups of people, but instead, how have I treated the person who I have treated worst in my life? How have I treated the person who I have left thirsty, whether literally or metaphorically? If instead I am to ask myself this question, and we ask ourselves this question, I suspect we all arrive at a similar answer. The people that I have treated worst in my life were not treated well at all. And God asks us, how did we treat the members of God's family? For in them God is truly present. This reality, of course, does not extend singularly to the disinherited, but it encompasses us all. Each and every one of us are made in the image of God, as is each and every one of our neighbors. And when I do harm to my neighbor, I do harm unto myself, and ultimately do harm unto God. What God is showing us here is that we are all so deeply connected. Or is what John Donne wrote, "So politically send not to know for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee." Donne's poem and Jesus' apocalyptic vision are not so different. Their message for us is the same. It is easy for us to be isolated. It is easy to be ignorant, and it is especially easy to be ignorant of the profound suffering of those in our midst. It is easy to imagine ourselves and our fate as separate and disconnected from that of our fellow creatures. In fact, most systems of meaning that are offered to us will teach us to avoid suffering at nearly any cost, and of course, to certainly avoid the burdensome cost of absorbing another's hardships. And yet what Donne in our scripture tells us is that the unavoidable reality is that we are beautifully interwoven and interdependent, that I cannot separate myself from you. Both of us are bound up endlessly in the image of God. This is the reality that we assent to when we claim Christianity. And on this day of the Feast of Christ the King, we assent that we are bound in our duty by virtue of Christ's ultimate kingship. We assert, as Paul says today in Ephesians, that God put power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated high at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority, all power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in those to come. Though powers and principalities, fear and destruction may appear powerful, the love of Christ is far stronger. And though competition or individualism may appear alluring, the mercy of God is far more palpable. And though the bell of this age tolls loudly and perhaps harshly for many, the kingdom of God beckons us forth, and onward we go. Amen.